Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien. And Tula Berries.
Tula Berry. I wonder if it's a cereal, like Crunch Berries?
It should be. You eat it with milk and get drunk.
Get drunk. Tula Berry wine cereal. Holly should be joining us later. She's out swimming with the fishes. Much to Aaron's sadness.
Yeah, well... I'll catch up with her soon.
Yes. But speaking of swimming with the fishes, we're going to be seeing Aquaman later this week, and we will be doing an episode on that a week from now. I guess a week from when you're hearing this.
Yes, so get your Speedos on. Jump in your swimming pool or your bathtub.
I wear Speedos.
And get ready for a little wet and wild action with Aquaman.
It's Aaron's favorite superhero, so we've got to talk about it. It's like his favorite thing ever, like almost more than Star Trek. So you should see the movie group he put together. We get Aquaman facts daily, and I'll find an anti-Aquaman meme that's kind of funny, and I'll post it, and most people will not like it. It's kind of great.
Well, I mean...
I really want to see him tied up in the soda can plastic. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I don't see things going to happen.
Or a SpongeBob cameo. Kaylee's definitely pulling for a SpongeBob cameo.
That could happen. I could see that happening.
I mean, at least somewhere in the background. Because, you know, in Star Trek, we've had, and at least in the JJ movies, I think all three of them, if not just two of them, R2-D2's been in them. And in First Contact, William Falcon's in there for a split second. So there are little cameos. So I wouldn't put it past them to put SpongeBob. I mean, it would be great.
Well, SpongeBob had the Aquaman comedy version.
Mermaid Man.
Was it Mermaid Man?
I couldn't remember. Yeah, Kaylee was telling me about Mermaid Man this morning, and it was pretty great.
Oh, it's pretty funny when he shows up.
Oh, yeah. So I really hope Mermaid Man shows up.
He's sort of like Adam West Batman.
Yeah. She was telling me. So he's like, he's got the Batmobile like Robin. And, you know, it's pretty funny. So, yeah. That'd be great. A little cameo for Mermaid Man to show up in Aquaman. That'd be fantastic. So look forward to Aquaman talk next week. This week, we're on to Spotting Dax 3.
Yeah, we don't spot her that much, though.
No, but in this episode, she's in it for a very little amount of time, but we get more character development from her in this little piece of time than we did in either of the episodes where she stood there and said nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. But before we get into that, Dave, we got the second number two trailer for Star Trek Discovery. Did you get to see it?
I did. I am confused. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm super confused.
Confusing?
Does everyone know Section 31 exists?
I don't know. Yeah, they really shouldn't know.
It's like they showed Giorgio, and she's flashing her badge to everybody, and Pike's like, oh yeah, they do special ops and da da da, and then Michelle and then Michael knows about it too. It's like, how does everyone know what Section 31 is? Like, nobody knows what it is in Deep Space Nine's time. How do these people know all of a sudden?
Right.
I mean, I granted, we had the black badge guys, and you know, the third episode of season one, but
which was never said that they were Section 31,
and it's not in canon until that thing they put out after Discovery was over, where they showed Michelle Yeoh get recruited by Section 31. So, like, why does everyone know about Section 31 at this point in time? And Tyler's the last person that should know about Section 31, since he's actually a Klingon. But
sort of, yeah.
That's what made me question things the most in the trailers. Whenever Tyler's like, Section 31 stance is that the Red Angels are dangerous, and I'm like, why does Tyler know this? I mean, from the trailer, there's a scene where it looks like Laurel and Tyler are fighting other Klingons, so I'm guessing there's a coup against Laurel, and they escape, and they try to take asylum in the Federation. Maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, and then, but still, like, they're still Klingon people. Why would you give them any information on Section 31 and that stuff? I mean, like, it just seems weird to me. What were your thoughts on this trailer?
It was exciting. It was very visually arresting. I really liked a lot of what I saw. I saw real briefly, they show a picture of Michael and Ash Tyler's kissing.
I wonder if there'll be a weird love triangle between her, Laurel, and Tyler.
Her and Laurel?
Yeah, her, Laurel, and Tyler, a love triangle.
I don't think so.
Because I don't, Laurel and Michael both love Tyler.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work that way. But, I mean,
Well, it's awkward because he did choose Laurel at the end of season one. That's weird.
Did he?
Yeah, he went with her.
Yeah, I guess he did, sort of.
That's kind of choosing Laurel. I don't know what is.
Right, but then he's on Discovery, so.
I don't know. I'm very confused by. I mean, I suppose since he's like the second or third name that shows up in the credits, that they've got to fit him in somehow, but.
Right.
Confused, nonetheless, at why.
Well, confusing, yeah, that they're kissing and, you know, somewhat back together or something's happening.
Maybe they'll be the grandparents of Kayla or something like that. Who knows?
I noticed the Red Angel scene looked like it was taking place in a church with pews.
Yeah.
I thought that was really unusual for a Star Trek. So maybe it's something else I'm seeing, but that's what it looked like.
Well, I love your idea that it's like the different angels of the apocalypse. That could be very interesting.
It could be. It's an unusual concept, but the whole uproar of Spock smiling.
Well, every time Spock smiles, bad things happen. So he did say they're going into danger. So I have no issue with this. What I do like about the trailer. Is that a lot of people complain about how Michael's always like so self-deprecating and like, everything's my fault, everything's on my shoulders. Like she took responsibility for the whole Klingon thing, even though it really wasn't all on her. Right. She just took way too much on her own shoulders. And I like how Spock is basically speaking for the audience. It's like, you assume everything is like you're doing or that you're the center of the universe. So like, I thought that was kind of meta that they've got Spock kind of speaking for a lot of the fans. In the trailer, because a lot of people are like really upset about Michael for like how whiny she is, and like it's interesting that Spock's like basically the voice of the audience at that point in the trailer. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like a great trailer. It's got me pumped. I mean, we've said before we're cautiously optimistic about Discovery, but I think it's going to be. It looks great. I hope it is as good as they make it look.
It looks beautiful. Like I wonder what this race is that's going to try to knock out humanity. It makes me think of like the Reapers in Mass Effect. They come around every 50,000 years and to wipe out all this sentient life and take all the technology, and they leave the baby races who haven't or they're still caveman. They let them, you know, evolve for 50,000 years, and then they come back and do another reaping or harvesting, and then. It's just a cycle that continues. I wonder if it's something like the Reapers in Mass Effect, which would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty it's very ominous, and it's I don't know. It looks like it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope there's some more exploration into it. It's something a lot of Star Trek fans are looking forward to, and something definitely Kaylee's mentioned too. She's like, the original Star Trek is more better because they're exploring, and they're not exploring in Discovery. And I'm like, yes, many people have made that observation. So hopefully more exploring in season two.
Yeah, that's always been a gripe of mine. But hopefully we get a little bit of that because obviously they got to reach all these little like red, what do they call them?
Red Angels.
Well, they don't call it. It says a red angel, but they said that these red beacons or whatever they're lighting up everywhere. So I'm assuming they got to at least get to most of them. So,
yeah, and I'm assuming one, like I said last week, will be around Saru's homeworld since they're supposed to be visiting Saru's homeworld. And why would you go through the trouble of making all that nice makeup for those 15-minute short if you're not going to do more with it? So that does make a lot of sense. So it'll be interesting. And this season's supposed to be shorter. I think it's only supposed to be 13 episodes instead of 15. So I'm just wondering.
I did hear that that they stretched it out to 14.
Oh, 14? Okay, well, that's good.
Just recently. So I'm assuming they must have done that because it was running long.
I mean, I guess so, because I just don't know how they're going to fit all this stuff. They're going to fit Spock, End of the World Catastrophe, or the entire universe, all these Red Angels across 30,000 some light years. Like, it just seems a whole lot to squeeze into one season. And they'll probably get rid of Pike by the end of the season and get a new captain involved with Discovery, because I'm assuming Discovery's shtick is going to be we get a new captain every season until Michael becomes captain and or dies.
It looked like Saru might have taken command too, though.
Maybe, but I can see them sticking it to Saru for a while.
I'm sure. Absolutely.
Especially since he's the only Kelpian. They're not going to give the only Kelpian a captaincy. No, that's not going to happen.
It could happen.
Nah.
Come on.
That's like Nog becoming captain after a couple of years. It's not going to happen.
Nog totally be captain. I could see Nog being captain.
Oh, good God. Speaking of Nog and the Ferengi, we're talking about Rules of Acquisition, and you're like, you're doing Spotting Dax off of Rules of Acquisition? Yes. Because
yeah,
it's the episode begins with Dax, and it ends with Dax.
It's Dax-like, but we do get a little bit of insight on Dax's character.
But I like Dax more in this episode than I've ever liked her before up until this point, so...
So Rules of Acquisition is Deep Space Nine. It's season 2, episode 7, and it first aired November 7th, 1993. We get the very beginning of the episode. Starts with Morgan waking up on one of the benches saying he can't sleep on the promenade.
Oh yeah, Odo waking up.
He tries to get into the bar, but it's closed up. And inside the bar, a group of Ferengi are all playing this game called Tango. And they're all throwing latinum in the center and some very complex looking like poker game.
Roulette. It's like roulette poker combo.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And then we get to the turn for Dax. And she seems like she's a excellent player of this tango. And she wins all the winnings for that hand. And then we are introduced to a new character, Pell, who seems to be one of the new waiters. And he brings up these profitable sand peas, which can make someone very thirsty. And so they're going to drink more of their drinks quicker if Quark places them out in the bar instead of his typical bar, whatever he puts out there, yeah, you know, peanuts or whatever, yeah, peanuts. Pretzels.
This is way more salty. They'll need to drink way more.
So Quark's like, wow, that's really great. And obviously Quark's brother Rom, gets pretty Myth. Threatened by him. Yeah, he's like, who's this, you know? Who's this guy, Pell? You're fired. Get out of here. But Quark...
So many times he tries to fire Pell in this episode.
Yeah, but Quark seems to like him. And then all of a sudden Quark gets a subspace communication from the Grand Nagus Zek himself.
Inconceivable!
So he gets a chance to make more profit than you've ever imagined possible. And all you have to do is earn it.
Just get some tula berries. That's all you need to do. It'll be perfect.
So their idea was they're going to go into the Gamma Quadrant, and they're going to try to get a Ferengi foothold in that area. So as the Grand Nagus comes, he sits down with Sisko and with Major Kira. They sit there talking about this business arrangement that they're going to try to set up in the Gamma Quadrant. And they're going to be doing, a business meeting with this Dalsy. And they are trying to secure tulipberry wine from them.
Yeah, so it's like this diplomatic thing because Sisko's worried that the Ferengi will mess up first contact relations. Or not really first contact, but like just any kind of like discussion. So they're just making sure the Ferengi don't cross any lines and everything's cool with Bajor. And he offers the Bajorans some kind of something. I can't remember what it was.
Green nitrate for farming. Basically for farming.
Oh, he's giving them fertilizer.
Basically, yes.
Lots of shit.
Yes.
He's like, we'll give it to you for free. And then he's like, oh, we'll give it to you for only 10%.
Yeah. And he says, you said for free. And then he says, so he said that Sisko suggests that why don't you just give it for us for free and we'll make everything go real nice for you for your meeting with the Dalsy. And he agrees.
He agrees to it because otherwise Sisko won't have to meet with the Dalsy.
Right. Exactly. So we get the whole setup that the Grand Nagus keeps on hitting on Kira.
Yes.
And Kira just thinks he's lecherous and gross.
And he keeps trying, and she goes to Dax and is like, hey, what's going on? How can I get him to stop his advances? And she's like, you can try, but he won't stop. and then she gets delivery from the Grand Nagus himself, some kind of latinum necklace, I think it was.
Yeah, that happens a little later. Oh. But so next we get Quark has got Zek's feet. The Grand Nagus, he's like taking his shoes off or rubbing his feet or something. And he explains that he wants to get him to secure Tula berries for Tula berry wine in the Gamma Quadrant. He says that basically if we get this secured, then the Ferengi Alliance has got a foothold in the Gamma Quadrant, and then they won't be able to get us out of there. So Quark is going to be part of basically the negotiator for this deal, and he's going to get a part of the profits from this Tula berry, whatever you want to call it, purchase.
This export thing, yeah. So, but Pell is like giving him ideas or whatever, and he is wanting to get like what 20% or 30%, and they negotiate.
He gets 20%, yeah. So back at the bar, when Quark goes and tells Rom about all this, Pell hears it, and she tells him the rules of acquisition.
He
does.
Yeah, Pell. Yes, he tells them.
And it's the bigger the smile, the sharper the knife. And he says, "Why is he offering? Why is Zek offering Quark this this huge deal? Like, why you?" And you know, and then Quark's like, "Yeah, why would he pick me?" And
to eliminate risk to himself,
right? So Quark takes Pell as an assistant, and they negotiate that he'll get 20% of the profits from Quark. And Rom goes, "What about me?" And he says, "There's tables to be served." So,
oh my God, who's that?
Who's what?
Who's that lady? Sexy lady. Holly Michelle. You broke up.
Well, I'm not sexy, but I'm Holly. I'm here.
It's funny.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I really needed that.
All you want to do is making love to the put.
What?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Yes, it came out because you joined, and I heard that might make you cringe.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And because Pell wants to get her pussy made, his pussy made love too.
I don't know, because I don't know. Where are you guys on discussing that so far?
Quark's not taking it. We need 10,000, and the whole thing gets broke off, and the Dusty just walk away from the table. So we go back. And as you said, Dave, before, Kira gets a gift from the Grand Nagus, Zek, and Ops. And this is where Dax says that, oh, that's nice. And Kira just can't even wrap her brain around what Dax is saying because she cannot stand the Ferengi.
And Dax is very open-minded about sex with any alien race. She's like, sir. Well, she's like, sir. She's like, when you get picked up by an alien race, yeah, I know that you're going to have sex with an
contract. And he's like, well, whose ship are you going to take? He says, yours. And Quark says, I'll fly. Don't worry. I can do it myself. So they're off to the Gamma Quadrant.
And this is where Pell leans in and kisses on some Quark.
Yeah, kind of. So on their way to the Gamma Quadrant, we get these strange, awkward conversations where Pell is obviously attracted to Quark and keeps on trying to smooch on him, I guess. And Quark is sort of just...
Quark doesn't really ask many questions either. He's just kind of like, what? And then, like, they kiss, and he's like... Then he's kind of confused.
Yeah, he says, I don't want to talk about it.
I love Armin Shimmerman. He's such a great actor.
Aren't they like, at the little... don't they meet them again before they kiss?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. But
No. They kiss on the shuttlecraft, and then later on, they're in the room, and she's like, don't you want to talk about the kiss? And she's like laying on top of him when the Dolce comes in, but that happens in a minute.
Yeah, right. So So they get there, and they get to the Dolce's planet, and they try to make some negotiation, and unfortunately, they're just not getting anywhere with the Dossie, and Quark even does a whole thing trying to be
tough.
Tough by throwing over that container of wine or whatever it was and making a big scene. So,
but it doesn't get them anywhere. Initially, they go back to their quarters, and Pal's like, "What? We're sleeping in the same room? What? We can't do that. Want to talk about the kiss?"
Yeah, right, right. And
as she's crawling on Quark, the female Dulce comes in, and she's like, "Am I interrupting anything?" And Quark's like, "No, I won't mind if you watch, though."
And basically, the Dulce says that they can't supply the 100,000 vats, but he knows somebody that could, and for the right price, that she'll sell it to Quark.
The Dominion. And, dun, dun,
dun. Yes. So basically, you have to do do work for the Dominion. Meanwhile, back in Deep Space Nine, Rom is rummaging through Pell's place or his quarters.
He's jealous.
Jealous because he doesn't want to be Cheers, outshined. Mm-hmm. And he finds Pell's synthetic lobes. I would have thought she would have brought it with her, but maybe she slept. Yeah.
I guess she had multiple pair. Or she wasn't planning on changing them. Yeah, but she still needed
the case.
Maybe she had multiple cases. Maybe she's got a Monday pair and a Wednesday pair and a Friday pair.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, yeah, she was attracted to him, so she didn't want to sleep with him or like sleep in the same room with him at that time as a man. But she probably would have wanted to take them off to sleep in. So she couldn't go to sleep while they were sharing a room because she couldn't take their ears off.
Well, that's why I think she had
multiple cases. She would have needed the case.
That's why I think she had multiple cases for multiple days of ears.
Maybe multiple days of ears.
Yeah, you know, you got your Monday through Friday ears. Very
Tuesday today.
Just like your pill box. You got your pills for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I guess. And then you've got, you know, your ears for each day of the week. I mean, come on.
You got to air them out, right?
Yeah, you don't want them to be sweaty all the time. Ugh. You know how much fringy sweats?
Got to put those in the dishwasher.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, they find out that the this race that they have to go through for the Tulaberry wine is the Caramin or Carmina, and they're members of the Dominion. So it's funny that nobody knows what the Dominion is at this point. So
yeah, it's one of the earliest references to the Dominion in the show, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if it's the first, but it's early.
So back at Deep Space Nine, they're telling Zek about – well, Quark is telling Zek, the Grand Nagus, all about his new information about getting the Tulaberry wine, and he has to go through the Dominion, and they're kind of exchanging notes. And the Grand Nagus basically gives him the in, says, you'll have a small percentage of everything coming through the Gamma Quadrant. Because of what you're doing here. So, but this is when Rom comes in and reveals to Quark that Pell isn't actually a woman, and he falls over.
Oh yeah, he like faints. Great.
Yeah. So Quark wakes up in the infirmary and he's okay. He's just a little fainting spell. And Rom's like, I'm going to report and report Pell that Pell is impersonating a male and probably go to prison. And Quark's whole thing is like, if you tell them about Pell, think what it'll do to my reputation.
And I'll probably go to prison too.
And he says, how about, you get the bar and you don't tell anybody. And Rom kind of likes that idea. So things go well for a minute.
Do you think he was really concerned for himself, or do you think he might have been concerned for her?
It's hard to say.
With Quark, it's definitely at least him, possibly both. Because Quark does have a heart of gold sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Fringies always have self-interest at least halfway up, if not all the way up.
Right. But Quark wants her to leave the station, offers her a bunch of latinum to just start a new life and get the heck out. And she's pretty upset with him. And then later on, during dinner with the Grand Nagus, Pell comes in and tells the Grand Nagus exactly who she is.
You like my lobes?
You like my lobes? Take them.
You can have them.
You're a woman? Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
So,
and then he's
I like the wordplay, like the flip of words that happened. Between Quark and the Grand Magus,
Where Nagus is like, hey, you, ignorance isn't a thing, and so you both are going to sell.
Yeah, he's like something about stupidity. And then Quark quotes him, and he's like, ah, I see your point.
Because the three of us will be in a cell, because that means she duped you. And he's like, no. Yes, stupidity is not, which is great. I love Quark was quick enough to, like, flip that on immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right. So everyone kind of goes their separate way. Pell says goodbye, and she wants him to Quark to go with her, but you know Quark's not going to leave, of course. And that's last we see of Pell. And then
they're playing Tongo again.
Yeah, Quark is with going to go with Dax to play Tongo, and you know has a little like makes a flirts with Dax a little bit. And then Tax says, I know enough that, you know, you miss her. And then she leaves, and Quark kind of sits there a little sad for a second. So, and the episode ends.
Yeah.
Dave, what did you think of this episode?
This is a fun episode. Very sensitive at the same time, because so much about the Ferengi culture. Like, I don't think they could, like, they couldn't have come up with the Ferengi the way they are portrayed in Star Trek now. Like, they can reference it if they ever bring him back and do another Star Trek show where Ferengi are shown, but, like, I don't think they could invent I don't think they could invent a race like the Ferengi now like they did back in the 90s, because so many people would be so upset about how misogynistic and stuff that they are, and so many people are upset about things like maybe it's cold outside now and all this stuff like that, so culturally we're a lot more sensitive to things, which is not my favorite. I mean, people need a little bit, I don't know. It's weird. it's complicated. I mean, I don't know. It's an old song. And it's Christmas time. If you're listening to this way later, that's the only reason why it's kind of coming back up. We're less than 10 days away from Christmas at this very point in time. So, just so you know, it'll be way less by the time this comes out. So, it's a great episode. I love the Ferengi. I think they're an interesting race. They get really fleshed out in Deep Space Nine a lot more because we've got Quark and Rom. It's fascinating. We finally get to learn more about Jadzia in this episode. We learned that, you know, Curzon was a great Tongo player, but this woman is a better Tongo player than Curzon ever was. And so we get to see Jadzia being awesome and, like, sticking it to Ferengi, you know, sexist ideals, which is great. And but even though she's still sticking it to them, she still adores the Ferengi and, like, likes to get to know them and is a nice, personable person, even though they're so, like, sexist against women. And it's just interesting that she's, like, she's still so accepting of them as a race, as a people, and is intrigued by them, which I find super interesting, and that she's so forgiving and so just open to, like, to new things.
On the reverse, sure. I think it's interesting that they accepted to let her play at their table.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they just considered all of the male lives that Dax was a part of to kind of allow her to be at the table, but it was just very interesting that you said that. Well, and my mind was like, they shouldn't really be allowing that. That's crazy.
Well, at the same time, it's like the Federation basically owned the station, and they're only allowing the Ferengi to be there, first of all. And second, that's more land than they could earn, potentially, if they
beat her. But if you're looking at it as a, like, well, you're on the Federation base, well, then a Ferengi woman can live a life clothed.
Yeah,
a Ferengi base. Same argument.
Technically, you're right, and she probably could. Pell probably could have lived there. She probably still would have got shit.
Oh, but, yeah. I mean, the Ferengi wouldn't have employed her, but I mean, you know, maybe the Klingon gach chef down the promenade might have employed her. Who knows? I mean, right, exactly. You never know. So I mean, like, you know, it's an interesting point that a female Ferengi could maybe have a life unless they do some kind of extrication to export her back to Ferenginar.
Yeah, but, it could have been.
I mean, we don't ever really get to an example like this again. The only other Ferengi woman we ever see, I believe, is Quark and Rom. Moogie, yes.
Moogie.
The mother to Quark and Rom. So,
I love Moogie.
Very few Ferengi females in Star Trek. Only two, I think, Moogie and Pell, that I can
think of off the top of my head. Well, if you saw them, you'd see butterfaces.
Yep. said butterfaces.
Yes. Am I wrong? They have to be naked.
Ooh, yeah.
Can you picture Quark on a woman's body?
Yes, because that's actually a thing that happens. Quark gets a sex change.
Drop it at least. Yeah.
Quark gets a sex change, and then she flashes a person.
There's like
Brunt.
A dream
sequence. No, it's not a dream sequence. It's Brunt. Yeah, he gets a sex change operation and flashes Brunt because mm-hmm. Brunt doesn't believe that Brunt thinks that Quark is just dressing up as a woman, but he got the whole surgery because I think Quark flashes Brunt to prove that he is a woman, which is kind of interesting.
Is this a dream?
No, this is really happens. There's another episode where a different person wants Kira's body in the holodeck, and he wants to romance her in the holodeck since she avoids all his advances. So they get her body, but they put Quark's head on it, which is also not a dream, the thing that actually happens.
These all sound like nightmares, is what I'm saying.
Pretty much.
Yeah, these are the things of nightmares, for sure. So this episode was really good. Dax isn't in it a lot, but we get more character development out of her. We learn about her past. We learn things she's interested in. We learn how she relates with other alien races. We learn so much more about her in the 10 seconds she's in this episode than we did on either the last two Spotting Dax episodes. That's how I feel about it. Or no, it's four because we did the first episode and the first two. So this
The first one we kind of covered
covered
the pilot episode,
and then the first episode. Yeah, we kind of did both in the first. So this is three. But yeah, I mean it's incredible. I mean, in an episode that isn't really focusing on her, we got way more out of her than we had before. So I was really impressed with how much we got to know about Dax for how little she was in it, and that's my takeaway. We got some great Dax information. And she's way more likable in this episode too. In my opinion. What about you, Aaron? What do you think?
As for the Dax thing, I mean, we do get a little interesting side point of her. It makes her seem more likable and more open minded. Like you said, the last two episodes we did on Dax was just kind of like she seemed very two dimensional. This one at least seemed a little more interesting. But this is a great episode just to deal with the Fringi and their culture and misogyny. I loved it. I think it was such a well done, because the Fringies are so unlikable, and you just watch it and you just see this Pell who, you know, comes in, and Pell is so bright and so like full of ideas and guiding,
and likable.
Yeah. Likable and guiding Quark, you know, throughout all the issues that he has through the negotiations and all his worries and stuff like that.
And genuine really, concern.
Yeah, and it's just a shame that Quark had to turn her away in the end. He would have been much better off, you know, like she said, just let's go to the Gamma Quadrant and just make tons of money. And they could have done that, you know, because she's right. They could have gone and nobody would have known their laws out there. And Pell was just a great character. I remember seeing this the first time and thinking like, boy, that I hope we see Pell again, and we never do, so...
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Although we do see the Klingon woman who had the House of Quark.
We see
her a couple times, or at least
that's
twice.
Different.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would have been nice to see Pell again, because Pell is such a great character, well written, interesting, and a Fringi that has general concern for someone else other than just profits. That was really neat. Really neat to see.
Yeah, and I don't know. I thought it was a great idea. Basically. You know, just talking about, you know, equality with women, just that women can do anything that a man can do. And it's just ridiculous to shut them out of those meetings, of those conversations, of those, you know, just not having those opportunities. So that's what I liked about this, too. And everybody in this episode just did such a great job at acting, you know. Like you said, the lady who plays Pell is Heidi Udi. She's actually, if you see real pictures of her, she's a very attractive woman. You wouldn't know it with all that makeup on, but she's very attractive for someone who's got that much makeup and looks like a ugly
boy,
Fringy. Yeah, boy mm-hmm. Fringy. And then and the guy from Princess Bride, Wallace Shawn, who plays Zach, he's just awesome.
I wish you would have said Inconceivable. It would have been so great. I don't think he ever does in Star Trek. It would have been just so awesome if he did.
No, but the funny thing is that that's such an iconic thing for him to say that I've heard interviews about with him. He says that he'll be walking down the street and people just yell "Inconceivable" to him as he walks by. So
it's probably like nuclear Wessels for Walter Koenig,
right? And the funny thing is he's like a well-known playwright. That like him being in Princess Bride and all the and doing Deep Space Nine, he's like actually a very like well-to-do playwright, and people are really like, I guess like the inner side of people into like Broadway plays and stuff like that. He's like a somebody that people know pretty well. So
that's awesome.
That's cool.
But like guys like us, we would know who the hell what the hell he's written. So
oh yeah.
I only know this because I had an interview. I heard an interview with him one time. So the other thing is the Dossie guy, the big muscle dude, he's been in quite a few Star Trek, roles. Hmm. So he's played the one that he's very recognizable. He plays an Enterprise. He plays a Romulan admiral where they have that weird ship that can evade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's huge. He's a huge guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's in there. He's also he's in a mostly makeup where he plays Klingons, and there's another Deep Space Nine episode that he's in as well. So pretty cool. Neat. Yeah, so he's in a lot. So,
oh yeah, he sounds like he has done a lot. Yeah. And he's really recognizable because he's a huge dude. Like he's massive. He's pretty cool looking. His face, even under all the makeup, he's pretty recognizable as like that dude from the really big guy, Romulan, and then this guy in this episode. Holly, what are your thoughts on Rules of Acquisition?
I mean, you guys said a lot of stuff that I agreed with. Some things I disagreed with were like with you, David. I think that it would be relevant today and it would be doable today, but it wouldn't stand.
I think that's what I mean. It wouldn't pass and it wouldn't get put on screen.
Yeah. I think it could. And I think even you could even say that it would captivate people because they'd be so frustrated.
Yeah. I'm frustrated. I mean? When I watch it, I'm frustrated. I'm just like,
right. Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah. So, I mean, if there were, there are people out there in the world who like to be the subservient wife, and I don't get that. I don't agree, but hey, it's kind of like their decision. And, I think they could be on Star Trek now if there were choices. If they got to choose that path.
Yeah, I agree with that, Holly, but I think that's the idea that a woman should be able to choose.
At least in the Fringy culture, they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they could say, I want to be a wife and be subservient to my husband. If that's what you want to do, cool. But maybe you don't want to do that.
You should have the option.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought it was, it's funny, every time you guys pick an episode, I'm like, wow, this is really relevant to today still.
It's super relevant, right? To today.
Yeah. So, obviously, it's funny, this whole like women equality thing. I grew up and I was in the martial arts and I was homeschooled. So I grew up at the ski resort and at the dojo, and I never felt unequal to a man, and that's not part of my mentality, and it's not something that I understand even a little bit. And it boggles my mind that so many people are so gender focused. Like, it rules your life. And I'm sorry that you didn't get the same experience I got, but like, I don't feel like women should be out for blood and trying to get even. There's like, just decide that women are equal and move on with your life. Stop shouting about it. Because to me, the more you talk about it, the more real it is. Just change it by leading by example. Like, I don't get the shouting. I don't get I don't get the marches. I understand that a lot of women who are in these marches were victimized, and I get that, and I'm really sorry for them. But at the same time, like I said, the way I feel is they shouldn't be screaming about it. They should just change the narrative. That's what they want. That's what they say they want. So just do it. Just stop talking about it and do it.
What do you think? I mean, what about people like who had to deal with what's his name? That Weinstein guy who...
I feel so terrible for those women. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there are some men that he felt he could do that to as well, who are just ashamed to come forth. There are sick people in the world. And, you know, they should come forth and they should talk about it and they should help others. But again, I'm from a family that you don't let people push you around. And there are no ultimatums. And when there are, you walk away. And that's how I was raised. So on the same mental level, I can't get there, but I understand and I sympathize as best I can. And I think they need to talk it out, but I mean, they want justice. They're out for getting even, and that's justifiable. They deserve that, but not at like, but they need to be two separate issues.
As
a woman, I don't know.
Yeah, there's difference between looking for, you know, equality and, you know, just being treated fairly, and then people going out to other people with a vengeance.
Yeah.
You know,
I hate it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hate it when I hear men say, it doesn't matter if a woman hits you, you never hit a woman back. I don't agree with that. I think that's bullshit. If women want to be equal and want to hit a man, then suck it up, buttercup. You just picked a fight with someone you can't win. That's your fault. You started it, and you wouldn't fight a woman that you didn't think you could win. Why would you pick a fight with someone who you can see is physically stronger than you?
I ain't picking no fight with Ronda Rousey.
Right?
I mean, the other thing is you probably go to jail if you're a guy, if you start hitting women. But
and that's like, it's crap. If a woman attacks you and you defend yourself and go to jail, that's bullshit.
But what if a guy just starts pounding on a woman that's, you know, not expecting it? I mean, that's a huge, like, you know, spousal abuse or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, that's awful, you know, especially some men are, you know, two times size of some other women. So
absolutely right. And there's a good example, though. The new show, The Rookie, with Nathan Fillion. Mm-hmm. The very first episode, he goes out like his first day, and he goes to a domestic call, and it's this big guy, and he's obviously like a wrestler, and he's trying to make weight, and they have this conversation about it, and the girl is like talking shit, and the dude expresses, like, almost says that she's violent, but he doesn't really, and they walk away, and then she ends up stabbing him that night, and they have to go back, and he's dead. And it's like, sorry, spoiler for the first episode of The Rookie, but still, like, women do it too. Like, it's not just men.
Yeah, no, I actually have a family member that I know that he was married, and his wife attacked him multiple times. He finally got divorced.
Good for him.
It was a rough time. He's never remarried, and I think it really messed him up pretty bad, actually.
You open yourself up to a spouse, and they do that to you? Like, what? That's really hard to get over.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. Any kind of physical abuse from any side is going to be difficult and mm-hmm. hard to process and deal with, without a doubt.
But the other side of it is, you know, because we're talking about Me Too and, like, you know, Dave, you brought up, like, baby is cold outside and stuff like that. And while I tend to agree in some points that, you know, like, the baby will cold outside, I think it was written at a different time where people thought differently. Mm-hmm. It was more of like they're playing coy with each other, like, you know, mm-hmm. especially
like
women.
Teasy.
And women back then weren't supposed to be really flirting, and they weren't really supposed to, you know, show that they had a kind of sexual attraction, you know, because mm-hmm. that would be scandalous kind of thing. And here it was like, you know, baby's cold outside, you stay with me. But now, you know, you take those lyrics and you read it and it looks kind of rapey. And, you know, I think you just have to take it with the, you know, the parlance of its time kind of thing, where you just, it means something different. And I think we see that a lot too. And you look back at a lot of things, you're like, oh, that looks, you know, looks like, you know, whatever you want to say, you know, that looks sexist, that looks racist at certain times. But in our time, it does. But you go back some, you know, even going back to, you know, early, you know, original series, there's certain scenes that, you know, look totally sexist or racist, and it's not absolutely meant to be that way.
Even in Next Gen, there's totally racist and sexist episodes. The one, I can't remember the name of it, but with Hashirashi where she gets kidnapped.
Oh, right, right,
that was
right.
An awful episode for racism, sexism, and
right.
Everything. It was bad all across the board.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, it's not... Not that they were trying to do that, and it's hard to parse those things out.
They did that on the cheap. I mean, that's they didn't give them any makeup. They didn't paint them different colors. They just hired a bunch of African-Americans. If they would have done something,
I know.
At least it wouldn't have been racist.
But my point only being is that, you know when I think there's –
You
think
have
when
to consider the time.
Yeah, it's because of its time, but I also think that when things start changing culturally, we lean to one side really heavy, and then it kind of like almost like a boat that's tipping back and forth. It has to find its own center before it can go forward again. And I think sometimes, you know, we push a little bit too far at one side, and then it kind of corrects itself back. You know, what I don't want is to see anybody. I don't want to see any women harmed. I don't want to see them treated unfairly. And I don't also, you know, it's a strange thing because I've had conversations about this too, men being accused unfairly as well.
Yeah.
Like one thing that's come out is Neil deGrasse Tyson has been accused. It's hard to even know because a lot of those things are the one accusation that he gave this woman is, I guess supposed to be his girlfriend, but not his girlfriend. I'm not quite sure. Like some date rape drug, and that he raped her while she was out of it. But you know that happened 30 years ago, and how can you prove any of that?
Yeah.
And it's like not that I don't want to believe her, but then you know a guy who's been married for you know 20, 30 years, you know, it's really difficult.
So hard to prove anything like that. It's so hard. Nowadays, and a lot of these things are coming up where they're just quoting stuff from a long time ago. It's like you don't want to disbelieve the woman, but at the same time, all these like you know lawsuits and stuff are happening, or people just trying to get money too. It's really difficult and it's hard to prove one way or the other. It's one person's word against someone else's. So I mean,
yeah,
I don't. How do you even deal with that?
And you don't want to like tell the woman that you know what happened to you isn't right because
invalid or something.
Because it could be, you know, maybe it's totally true. And until we can read minds or go back in time, you know, I guess we just won't know unless there's other things that are at play that we can kind of parse out what's happening. So
it's difficult.
Those people need justice and like who's the male big male actor who came out and said that he was sexually assaulted as well. Terry Crews, yeah.
Yeah.
I could picture him. You know what happens, and...
Old Spice!
You know, it's not fair, and they deserve justice. But is that going to give them peace? Yeah. We don't know, because we're not in their shoes.
I mean, Anthony Rapp from Star Trek Discovery, he was, you know...
He got Kevin Spacey, basically.
He got spaced.
Got him in trouble, for basically, I don't know if he tried to just have sex with them or what he did, but
he was super young, too, at the time, I believe.
Yeah, he was like a teenager or something like that, so.
It's sucks, and that all these things are happening, and I guess it's good that it's all coming out, but it's also just so horrible finding out all these horrible things that are happening.
I think it's good that we're having conversations like this. I think it's good that people are becoming aware of it. I've, you know, like you, Holly, I grew up, my parents never exposed me to anything like racist or anything like that. So like when I heard about stuff, I remember watching like a Phil Donahue and there was like, I don't know, like some KKK member or something like that. I just I was like, what?
And you're baffled. You're like,
yeah, I was like, this how? Exists? This exists in the world? I had no idea. Yeah. And I probably was like in, like, I think I was in middle school, and I you know, went to my parents, and I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a thing, you know? And I just never knew it.
Yeah, and you just, and like, I feel like if you're too overexposed to things like that when you're young and impressionable, it becomes a part of your psyche, and that's, I'm not saying that's why people are racist, but like that's how it continues to thrive.
Well, I think that's interesting that you both had that, and I wasn't raised with that kind of thing in my house either. I mean, you know, Dad was a preacher, and like we weren't taught to hate anybody. You're supposed to love everyone, love your neighbor as yourself. But you know, also living in the South, you're also slightly more
prone to the history.
The history, but also yeah. Just it's more in the culture, because it still feels that way with some people. You know, it's uh-huh. It's a little bit different in the South. I'm not saying the South is all racist, and that's a horrible thing to say or think, and a lot of people think that because that's a stereotype. But just being there, it's a little bit different than probably your guys' upbringing, because it feels more prevalent, and maybe there's still like more anger with some people in general. So I mean, I wasn't totally floored by the concept of racism as a child. It's sort of just understood it just from growing up, not in my house, but just outside of my house.
Absolutely. Yeah, you see things and you recognize it sooner or later. Absolutely. Yeah. No, but it's the same thing with I was never taught any kind of sexism or anything like that. I just, it's one of those things that, but of course I was a man, so I never had anybody like, you know, treat me differently because of my sex.
Yeah.
I have actually, to tell you the truth, I've had people treat me differently in my sex as I gotten older. I have noticed, especially when I had to work in office environments, I got treated a little differently. And, yeah. You know, I just take it as it's not fair, but you know, it's, this is where we're at. So
it is, mm-hmm. It is, unfortunately, sometimes.
Yeah, I was told by someone that I shouldn't my career won't be the same as somebody else because I have a family and children. So
yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, that's nice. I mean, it's part of propagation of the human race. But
thanks. You know,
so. Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. Being unfair is, I guess to the business, it's like, well, they're not going to call in because their kid's sick, you know, or has a school play. I can understand it, but it's also like, you can't hire based on that. You can't promote based on that. You got to do it for the work ethic. Well, like
that's same, the thing. Everyone says they don't, but every place does. And it's right. A shame.
And women get treated differently too, because then they think like, oh, she's going to work for me for 2 years and then she's going to get pregnant with her husband and then she'll be gone.
And there's the there's the pay discrepancy and all that horrible stuff that goes on, you know, with women as well.
I met, it's completely off topic, so I won't mention it right now. But yeah, you're right. They just assume that if you're a woman, you know, you're going to be gone for, you know, maternity leave, and then you might not come back to work, and then they're going to have to hire and retrain someone. And I mean, it's real. It happens. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. And this is interesting that this episode, like, as silly it is with Fringies and stuff, it's so topical, and we're able to get so deep into the weeds on this.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I wanted to mention, since we were, you know, talking about women and equality and
absolutely.
You know, right now, everybody, you know, Captain Marvel is going to come out soon. Uh-huh. And, you know, when they made Captain Marvel a female, everybody, it was like, you weren't sure where people stood about it. Uh-huh, and now, right. You know, the Doctor's a woman. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Like, as just the same as growing up and not really ever thinking that I wasn't equal to a man, I never felt like I lacked in, influences. And you know, I was influenced by characters that were written in books and on film, like that were male, and it didn't matter that they were male and that they weren't female. I didn't feel like I wasn't being represented, and I don't understand that mentality behind the whole representation thing, because you're supposed to be looking up to your idols for their character, not for their genitalia. And I feel like it just makes you focus on things that are not important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny you mentioned Captain Marvel because growing up, Captain Marvel, the male version, was one of my favorite characters in the Marvel universe. I read a lot of the comics, and they killed his character. Actually, it was a very strong and it's hard to explain at the time, but they killed his character. He died of cancer, and they really never brought his character back. I mean, they did a couple times, but it was like he popped in and out of because of some weird reality
thingy,
glitch or something. Yeah, but he never came back the way he did.
Mm.
And when they made the new version of Captain Marvel, I definitely remember a lot of people kind of flipping out that it was a female.
Yeah.
And my take was more of like, you know, I had my childhood growing up with Captain Marvel. You know, it's my childhood's over. And it's okay if it's a woman now. It doesn't really matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If Starbucks a woman too.
Starbucks can be a woman, but that was a different.
I know. I'm just teasing you because we've had that talk before.
We have had the talk about Starbucks being a woman. So I guess it was more of like, you know, if this helps some young girl get into comic books, let it happen.
Here.
Right.
Absolutely. Let it happen. Who gives a crap? You know, let's let them do it. There's plenty of, plenty of male heroes. So, and he was a character who was dead since like 1982 or something like that. I can't remember, but I mean, it's been a very long time. So, there was a character nobody was doing anything with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, might as well have new.
It just seems so ridiculous. People get so worked up. I mean, Holly, I mean, people get worked up for the female Doctor Who.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, silly.
What do you care? If it's a good written story and if the actor holds up the part decent enough,
yeah,
you know,
that's all that matters.
It's been in the narrative since at least the 80s, probably the 70s. But the fact that Time Lords can be both, it's been in there for a while,
and they're a Time Lord. They're not human, so
right. And it's so silly. It's just like, you know, all these, you know, I don't know what the mentality is because I just don't get it. You know, the character takes on new forms.
Right.
People get upset about a lot of things.
About
Discovery's not Star Trek, and JJ Star Trek isn't Star Trek. It's just people get upset about all sorts of things, and it's, you know, relax.
You know what I have to say about that?
What?
If Leonard Nimoy was a part of it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Get over it. That's a good point.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, I think there's so many people out here like us and just people with, like, you know, their Twitter accounts or whatever can easily just, you know, say whatever they want, and they can attack people, and they can. So it's like something we've never had before.
Yeah.
Where, you know, go back 20 years ago, you know, maybe, yeah, cyberbullying and stuff like that. Like maybe somebody would write an angry letter to the editor or to like the producer of something.
You get thrown away.
But, you know, it's like, what do you, you know, that was just one person, you know.
Yeah, but social media, everyone's doing it. It stays there. And like bullying isn't just for kids now. People are bullying actors and it's horrible. We need to grow up a little bit, guys.
It's terrible. And, you know, maybe it's who I am, or maybe it's the martial artist in me, but I never, like, so a lot of my very best friend I met because I moved to the town, and I was friends with the popular girls, and this new girl came into town, and I let her have my computer desk because she was new and she didn't know anybody, and I let her sit with me. And all of the kids were like, ew, you're disgusting. I can't believe you were nice to that girl. And I was like, wow, I don't want to be friends with you hoes, because that's not how you treat people. And so I was like kicked to the quote unquote tuna squad because, you know, it was the kids that, you know, didn't have a lot. And
the tuna squad?
The girls that didn't get to shower every day. They smelled bad. So they were the tuna squad.
Ugh.
And like, to this day, they don't get picked on, and I'm glad, because you just don't let that happen. You don't let injustices happen in front of your face. And I don't understand allowing bullying to happen. You know, one of my best friend, she was getting bullied by her sister-in-law on Facebook the other day. And I was like, you are a very poor influence on your niece. And I don't think you should be attacking your sister-in-law. And she flipped out and she's like, well, nobody asked you. And I'm like, well, you put it on Facebook. So you did. Uh-huh. And, you know, Facebook's not, you don't just get to shout about whatever you want to say and then not accept what's coming back at you.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a discussion, discuss.
Discuss. Absolutely.
It just baffles me. I don't understand these people. Like, I just can't understand it. You don't.
And I'm sure we will continue to not understand this as things move on and more things confound us. And they will. They will still confound us until people start being less sensitive about things.
Until it becomes the story of the giver and where it can't see color.
Exactly.
Well, I what I hope is more that people start, you know, just people start
being decent.
Decent people. And I think the more and more we, I don't know, maybe the more we see how everyone feels and what's going on in each other's lives. So we're like, you know what, you know, Joe over there, I'm not really crazy about that guy, but, you know, I'm sure he's got his own problems.
Right.
And let him be, you know.
Yeah, just let people be.
You know, so.
Take a step back, relax, breathe, do some yoga, calm down.
Treat people nicely, treat people kind, you know,
people the way you want to be treated.
Treat the women in your life like you treat your mother or your sister. You know, treat the men in your life how you treat your brother or father. You know, I mean, just with respect and kindness, and you know, yeah. I think your life would be a lot easier. And so maybe,
absolutely.
And some people have issues with men, and some issues have issues with women. You know, just realize that we're all trying to get through with this life. You know, as best we can.
If you have to move to a convent. If you hate men, you know, just go live around people that are your same gender and who don't talk because you hate everyone anyway.
Or a monastery if you're the other gender.
Or a monastery.
Suppose.
Yeah. Just get out of everybody else's way. You're making everybody else miserable too. Just because you're miserable doesn't mean we want to be.
Exactly.
Sucks.
Hear, hear. To people being not miserable.
Honestly. I don't imagine you have very many dickheads listening to the podcast, so we're probably preaching to the choir here, but...
Usually, I assume that people watching Star Trek or listening to a Star Trek podcast, they're a little more evolved in their thinking.
Right,
exactly.
Right. So tell your friends. Share this podcast with your friends who are a-holes.
Exactly, so we can scold them in the
past. Hey, Joe,
past.
I know you're a dickhead. Listen to this podcast.
Listen to this. Yo, dickhead.
You
yeah, no.
This episode.
It's so great, man. So speaking of people that listen to us who are awesome, we got an email from Josh. Not my brother, but a different Josh. And he said, hey, I just finished listening to the episode 191, The Expanse. Great episode. It reminded me of my major gripes with the Zindi arc, which overall I enjoyed. I do agree they dragged it on a little long. My main problem is that they never addressed the primary question posed in the first episode. Why? The question is answered in a high level because of the temporal Cold War connection, but they never give a satisfactory explanation of a technical need to send the smaller weapon to Earth. Okay, they say it's a test, but I don't buy it. It makes more sense to me now, since you've made the connection with 9/11, as the timing of the episode and writing. As for the in-world explanation, it doesn't make much technical sense from a strategic perspective. It makes no sense whatsoever. The best theory I can come up with, based on what they've given in the show, is that they needed to know the style of the weapon that could be effective with Earth's composition, tectonic plates, etc., with the energy output expected to produce. This makes some sense, but we know the countless mentioned of Class M planets throughout multiple series, that Earth is not terribly unique. All they would need to do is test the sensor readings with some other, you know, and they could have retained element of surprise. Instead, they give away the advantage of knowledge of future events the advantage of the version of the slipstream or warp, whatever they call it, and gave the humans enough clues to track them down. From a narrative standpoint, I get it, but it's pretty lazy storytelling. Sending the test weapon is a massively stupid decision on Zindi's part, and they appear to be a fairly intelligent race. So I guess the takeaway could be that the boardroom thing is probably in every race, and you just can't trust the council to make rational decisions. This is a pretty big spoiler to the Zindi plotline, so it might be appropriate once you've covered more of the third season. I just wanted to get it out of the way before I forgot. I do have one show-related request. If you could link to relevant IMDb pages or Memory Alpha articles on the episode description for us lazy listeners. It's not that big a hassle. If it's not that big a hassle or big deal, I'm guessing you're already collecting some of that in your own notes. Keep up the good work, Josh. Thank you for the email, and you made some really good points, and that is a really dumb thing to do, to give away what you're doing with a test up, and I didn't think about that, and it's pretty dumb. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, why would they send that weapon if it's just going to just destroy a couple, you know, tracks, you know, big
huge tracks of land.
Huge tracks of land. Well, I mean, why would you do that? I mean, it just seems bizarre. Just get your hand on the red matter.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not have an answer for you.
But yeah, thanks for the email. I really appreciate getting the emails and getting feedback. As far as for IMDb stuff, I'll try and remember. I'm usually putting the other show notes and putting the episodes together at 3 o'clock in the morning once I've gotten home from work. And I'm lucky to get the show notes as completed as they are usually. So I'll see if I can remember that. Because I'm usually on the IMDb page putting on the tags for the actors and the name of the characters, especially for new people who show up in those episodes.
He does what he can, guys.
I do what I can.
He works his fingers to the bone.
To the bone.
To make this podcast from scratch.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Aaron, for that. But yeah, I do what I can. Hey. I don't have. I've got nubs. I'm like Davos from Game of Thrones. Like, I've got nubs instead of full fingers.
That's right. That's what you have now.
It's not because Aaron cut off my fingertips for lying to him that one time.
All these years, you just won't let it go, will you?
No.
Now you can dictate everything to your computer. So hey, right, no problem there.
Speak into your phone.
I can speak into my Alexa and say, "Computer, turn off the lights," and the lights will turn off.
Mm, be careful. Last time you asked for music, it didn't do too well.
No, it did not.
It's true.
Well,
that was an interesting discussion, guys.
It was an interesting discussion. I knew it was going to be after the first couple seconds of the Fringy discussing how they treat women. I'm like, this is going to be a deeper episode than I thought it was going to be. Absolutely.
Not going to be about Dax.
No. Nope.
Right? Isn't it funny that it was really hardly about Dax at all?
But we still got, like I said earlier, before you joined, Holly, I feel like it's barely about Dax. We learned more about her in the few seconds she was on screen than we did in the other two episodes where she sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, no, it's subtle, but like that's why it's interesting and intriguing, because it's so subtle it leaves you wanting more. And I guess your guys' argument is that they don't really give you much more.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. The rest of our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The show you can find online at syntholics.com. You can send us an email like Josh did at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook conversation at facebook.com/group/syntholics. You can take a look at our YouTube page. It's at youtube.com/syntholics, where our podcast goes. And sometimes I do cosplay videos, and sometimes other things will show up there randomly. On Twitter, you can find the show at Syntholic Duo. David's at David_J_Duncan. Aaron O'Brien is at Blackbird2004. And Holly is at Lunar Thistle.
And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. 5 stars would be very nice. And a little comment gets people to see us a little more in the Apple algorithms. And also, if you could go to our Patreon, if you have a little money, throw our way. $1 a month isn't much to ask, just to help support our show. Dave's fingers have been working to the bone. Little nubs now, and it doesn't have anything to do about me chopping out his fingers.
It's so hard to give hand jobs now.
Yeah, so
I like how you went with give them instead of like,
oh no, I meant give them to myself. That's right. Okay. Sorry, no,
that's called masturbation.
Oh, so I've been calling up the wrong thing the entire time.
So help Dave's masturbation problems. Go to Patreon.com/Syntholics. $1 a month. That helps us out.
I got to get prosthetic fingers put back on my nubs.
Yes, just like that guy from Black Sabbath. And then finally, as we say, as always, if you can't do any of those things, a great way to support the show is let people know, especially your
your misogynistic brother,
friend, co-worker. Let them know about Synthaholics. Have them listen to our episode. Maybe we'll change their life.
I hope we do. We haven't gotten any of those emails yet that you've changed our lives. Don't send them if you don't really mean it, guys. We want the legit ones. But,
we want the legit
one. One day we'll get one, I think, or we change someone's life, I hope.
I wonder if we'll get some hate mail from my stance on the whole feminist movement thing.
I don't know. Who knows?
About to find out.
And if we do, we'll read it on the air.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe. No promises.
I'll have to censor it all. Beep, 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 beep. That was great. The beep. Well, anyway, thank you, Aaron and Holly, for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It was great fun talking with you guys. It's a great episode. I think this has been one of our favorites in the last couple of weeks, so that's great.
Yes, for sure. It's been a good episode.
And thank you, all of you out there, for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. The night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. We did it. And I remembered the email. We had the email last week. I forgot. I was a bad boy.
Bad boy. Holly, without giving you spoilers, did you like the movie?
I loved the movie.
Was it?
Arrow.
Yo!
Hey.
What's up?
How is everyone?
We are good.
Good.
What did I like to hear?
No, I think it was the second trailer. I think they did a...
Oh, a teaser, then a trailer one, trailer two? It doesn't matter. We'll just say the new trailer. We don't need numbers. Numbers are stupid.
We don't need...
Who needs math?
Not at all. Yeah, that's about it. That's the only thing I could see that was really noteworthy.